This December, hopefully, as you're aware, we've been delivering as a church a daily devotions, something that we've filmed, Mark, Emma and myself, and we've put them on Facebook each day. They're being emailed out to those who've requested it. There's also a hard copy available for those who've requested that as well. And each of us, if you've been following it or reading it, will have seen that we've approached it in our own unique way, which is kind of part of what we wanted, rather than just have one voice picking up on the different characters, but actually to be reflecting on it from different experiences, different points of view. For me, a number of my reflections have come, I've chosen from the point of view of my memories of childhood nativity plays, both kind of experiences that I was in, but also actually some that I've watched and seen over the years. It's interesting, as we come this morning to look at the shepherds, I think there's a real danger sometimes that we can write them off as a bit of an extra part, really. They're the kids who just have a tea towel over their head, and that's it, really, isn't it? You know, they've got no kind of, you know, spangly tinsel around their head for the angels. They're not Mary or Joseph, which are obviously quite key roles. They're not the kings who have the nice presents and that sort of thing. They're the ones who just stand at the back with the fake animals and sing about socks being washed and that sort of thing. The reality is, though, as we're going to consider this morning, is they're not just some random characters. They're not just add-ons, but actually their part is really key for us because of what it shares, what it shows us in terms of the part that we're to play in the ongoing telling of the Christmas story. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and following. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. It's quite interesting. Luke begins chapter 2 with a mere 7 verses on the actual birth of Jesus. When he starts to kind of develop this, as we see with the shepherds being told and that sort of thing, we almost get twice as much. If you look at Luke and the way that he details things, he's often very, as I said last week, very accurate, trying to give every bit of information, paint a full picture. And with these opening verses, as he first shares the account of Jesus' birth and then goes on to how it is begun to be shared with those around him, it's really quite amazing what actually is taking place in these subsequent verses. And we could debate for hours if we go back to the Greek and actually how many words were in the Greek and kind of are there the same amount and that sort of thing. As I've reflected on it though, and as I want us to think about this morning, the power in verses 8 and following is truly rather magnificent. But yet so often I think we can get stuck at verse 7 and we focus on the first piece rather than recognising that actually it's something that goes on and has a real impact to us and our lives today. Because what is taking place here is God is being revealed. In those first 7 verses, God is being revealed. But it's not something, as we'll see, just to stay in that place. It's something that needs to go out for all to hear and to encounter. And so if we think, who is the news revealed to? Where do the angels go first? They don't go to the royalty of the day. They don't go to the governments, those in power. They don't go to the rich. They don't go to those who are maybe the social climbers, those who are connected, those who can get the news out quick and easy and effectively. They go to the shepherds. They go to those who, at first glance, you know, are not the ones we might choose. I would go as far to say that in terms of a strategy for communicating something, it's a bit stupid. Because actually the shepherds weren't that connected. They weren't the ones who knew lots of people. And they weren't the ones who were at the centre of the community or the centre of society. They were the social outcasts. They were the ones who were stuck on that field at night looking after a bunch of sheep. Living, we're told. So it wasn't that they were just on a shift for a couple of hours and then would be back down for the party. They were there. That was their existence. And it's an interesting theme that we see throughout Luke's gospel of this message of Jesus being for ordinary people. He really seeks to drive that home, that it's not just for the elite, it's not just for a select few, but it is for all. And so in this moment, the gospel truth is shared with the shepherds on that hillside. God shows up. Just try and picture for a moment what that would have been like. Verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. It's one of those interesting phrases. You think greatly afraid, terrified. I think it's kind of understated, really. It's something that we see throughout Scripture, both in the Nativity Christmas narrative. Zechariah and Mary are also described taking on similar emotional states. But throughout the rest of Scripture as well, whenever God shows up, the manifestation of God appears, human beings just kind of quiver and almost fall apart. And so there's this natural response, verse 10, do not be afraid. Which again, I wonder whether it's kind of setting a bit of a dry tone. Because, come on guys, don't be afraid. We're from God here. This is good. Don't panic. I can almost play out in my head the scene in heaven before the angels are sent down. And they're giving this kind of pep talk. You know, okay, right, Gabriel, you're going down to Mary. Okay, so you've got your bit of information. Okay, yeah, Bob, you're going down to the group on the hill. Shepherds, that's great. But remember, guys, this lot always freak out. We don't know why. We try every year, but they just constantly just seem to get scared and terrified. And so they show up. And this angel says, do not be afraid. And then in verses follows on, verse 10 and so on. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. In this moment, there's this pronouncement of the gospel truth for these outcasts on this hillside who no one probably really cared about. They were the ones who heard this amazing news. But it doesn't stop there, obviously, because it goes on in verse 13. We see how suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. This multitude shows up. There's a song, Whom Shall I Fear? And it talks about the God of angels' armies. And I imagine this image of, you know, this heavenly host appearing. It wasn't just some kind of random bunch of angels kind of jostling for space and kind of shuffling on stage and this sort of thing. You know, there would have been a presence. There would have been an awesomeness. This was in this week at the reception nativity that I went to over at Ballylancton. And the focus on it was all about the angels gathering to prepare a song to sing to the baby Jesus. And in the production of the day we saw it, though I imagine it was probably the same on the other days, the angels were just a bit all over the place. And you had like kind of 50 angels on stage. And there was one kind of trying to order others around, and they didn't really want to do what they were told. And you had another one who was just constantly dancing like this, even when they were meant to be sitting down. And there was, I don't think that's the image we get here. What we get here is God showing up. And in this moment, as they declare, as they sing out, It would have been like something the shepherds would have never experienced before, and I imagine probably never would have again. And it's this unexpected nature of God showing up, breaking in, meeting with them. And then subsequently, verse 15, when the angels had left them, gone into heaven, you almost hear one minute declaring this great news, the next minute they're gone, and they've returned. And so the shepherds, they seek out this baby. But again, as I've been thinking about this, such a matter-of-fact kind of statement that we read there, such an idea that we have in our minds. Well, obviously the shepherds went and they stood around in the right position so it looks a nice Christmas card scene, and they'd have had their sheep there, only about two or three though, they wouldn't be able to fit them all there, but they'll bring a few just so they knew that they were shepherds, Mary and Joseph. They'd have brought a couple. But actually, you know, just imagine Mary and Joseph are in this stable, in this cave, they're out the back of an inn, wherever it actually was, and some random strangers showed up. You might kind of think, well, who are you? And why are you randomly carrying a sheep? But they go and they seek out the baby. They can't do anything, but they leave all their sheep, which I think is an interesting parallel to the story we read of the lost sheep, where this shepherd would, you know, go out and search for sheep. Well, actually, they're not cared about the rest of their sheep because they want to go and see this baby. They want to see this Messiah. They want to see what they've been told about. And then, verse 18, they, in many ways, become the first evangelists because they then start telling others. And they spread this news because it's so good. It's not to be contained, not to be held on to. It's something that all need to hear and be able to respond to. So three brief reflections for us maybe this morning to take away. The Christmas story for all is not to be contained. We have a lovely image, don't we, of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and a nice bit of music in the background and it smells sweet and it was, you know, Jesus is sleeping, as all babies do, and it's just perfect. And so often we like to stop there, whereas actually that picture was just the beginning. The message was not to be held in that moment, but it was to go out. It's not to be contained. And yes, you could have thought, well, maybe Mary and Joseph did deserve a bit of space. Maybe actually it would have made sense for Jesus to grow up a little bit when he could do stuff besides eat, sleep, cry and the other thing. You know, and actually then it would have been better to start sharing this news. But that wasn't part of God's plan. Because from the very first moment Jesus was here on earth, the message was to go out, was to be shared. The challenge for us, I believe, is do we recognise that? I had this picture this week as I was thinking about this, that actually as a disciple, as a Christian, as someone who is following Jesus, I should be like a sieve. Because actually, the story of Jesus, the message of the gospel, the truth of God's love should be something that I can't contain, that just runs out of me. That actually wherever I go, it's something that is just left, whether I'm in a shop, whether I'm in a school, whether I'm at home, whether I'm with friends, with family, that actually it's just something that just seeps out of me because it's not to be contained. Secondly, I believe the Christmas story is for all and it's to be shared from the ground up. You look at these shepherds and they weren't the ones that we would have naturally gone to if we wanted to communicate something. You know, in this day and age, we'd have bought primetime television advertising, whether kind of on Christmas Day or something, you know. You'd pick the program that everyone's going to watch. You'd do a mass mailing to everyone and anyone that you can think of. You'd want to get an audience with someone in power so they could then just pass the message out. But no, God's revelation, God's truth, God's personal message of love for all humanity started at the ground up. Connected with those who were seen to be outcasts from society. And the challenge maybe for us is, do we feel a bit like that? We get caught up in the excitement of Christmas, but actually, I don't really feel worthy to really celebrate and to receive from God. I may not call myself an outcast, but I just don't fit. All the things that I've done, it just means I'm not really worthy. I believe the message we hear here of the shepherds reminds us that Jesus came for all. And there's no hierarchy involved there whatsoever. And the other thing that really struck me was how the Christmas story is for all, and it's to go out far and wide. The shepherds went and they saw that baby, they worshipped him, and then they returned to their daily lives, but they began to tell others of what they'd experienced, of what they'd seen, the difference it had made in their lives. And I love that idea of the shepherds being the first evangelists almost. The most seemingly unprepared, not in the best position, not connected, but yet they began doing what God calls us all to do, which is to share this story with those around us. I believe we have here an example of individuals who are much more than just a group wearing a few tea towels, much more than just a few add-ons to a nativity story so we can get a few more kids involved. But I believe what we have here is a life-changing invitation from God, an invitation that we can take hold of for ourselves. Maybe actually we need to afresh this year. Maybe you've sat through decades of Christmas services and meetings and carols and all that sort of thing, but actually you need to again accept that invitation afresh this year, knowing that Jesus came for you. Maybe it's about recognizing that actually you are deemed worthy by God. Whatever the world may say, whatever people around you may be telling you, God sent his son Jesus for you. And maybe it's the challenge to think, how am I going to pass this on? How is my life going to live in a way that others will discover this truth and the difference that Jesus can make for them? Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the fact that you love us so much that you gave your son. I pray that the truth of this story, the truth of Christmas, will be one that we will seek to both receive but also to share with those around us, seeking to see your kingdom come in this place and beyond. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this is a season for looking back.